Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined by Anna, fellow monk here at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, who is here to speak with us about, I suppose we could say, practicing everywhere. Welcome, Anna.
Hi, Jen.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
So we just thought it would be fun to get your perspective on, you know, there's, as you well know, there's a line in the short recitation that we say many times a day with each meditation at the monastery, and virtual meditation groups do as well, that we'll use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, when people talk about when you're at the monastery, and especially, you know, in monastic training, everything is set up for that. Right? Everything, the whole environment, the whole community knows that's what we're doing. So it's really set up to support that. And it can be challenging to bring that same level of intention to everything, truly using everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer when we're not in an environment that's set up that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have really quite a unique perspective in the sense of having done a lot of monastic practice for many years, and then also, you know, because of life circumstances, needing to spend some time away from the monastery, but really continuing to bring that kind of one-pointed focus,
mm-hmm,
of using everything that happens to be part of practice. And so we thought it would be fun for you to talk about that experience and maybe even also to share some tips and tools, since you know both things. You know the support of the monastery, and you know what people are up against not being at the monastery, and maybe some of the things you use to support yourself to keep that level of practice available to you.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I love how you laid it out, Jen. It's like the kind of attitude of mind, or the intention, which is to live a processed life, right? To live in the process,
yeah,
of seeing how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. And then there's the living it, like the embodying it.
Live a processed life, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, so there's the attitude of mind of, it's all a retreat. It's a big retreat. Everything in my life,
mm-hmm,
is a retreat. And then what that looks like, kind of living it, or what it looked like for me is, I was just laughing. I remember you and I had a conversation on Good News about structures a while ago,
mm-hmm,
and I remember, mm-hmm, talking about all sorts of structures that I had in place for myself to help me live, mm-hmm, that process life, right? So I'd committed to, say,
mm-hmm,
like 30 minutes of reading in the evening. And if I saw that there was a, and I don't want to, or if there was a, so if I saw that there was a, I want to, and I don't want to stop at the 30 minutes, then that's all like the structure gives us that information. Like we can see that because,
yeah,
the structure's there.
Yeah.
And I love that about being at the monastery, right? There's the schedule, which is such a like signal to me of living a processed life. So when the bell goes,
yeah,
we put what we're doing down. We don't say, just give me 5 more minutes, I'll be right into meditation, I've just got this one thing to finish.
Exactly, just hold that bell for me, I'll be right there.
Right,
yeah.
It's like the schedule's really looking out for us, right, to support us to live that,
yeah,
processed life. So,
yeah.
And the reason I said I laughed when I thought back to that conversation about the structures around, you know, 30 minutes of reading in the evening was that in the retreat I was just in out in the world, I was doing the job where I would like, you know, leave the house at 8:30 in the morning, get back around 7 or 8 in the evening and still have to eat, and then there'd be prep to do for the next day. And it was like, there was that moment of, oh, my lovely structures. I want my lovely structures,
yeah,
back, you know? And it was like a kind of getting it that the kind of the training requirements were totally different in this new retreat, right?
Yeah.
And, okay, so those kind of big, I don't know what you'd call them, big, clear, spacious structures aren't available, but what,
yeah,
is available? And so the kind of things I found helpful were to practice with just like tiny little interventions. So like,
mm-hmm,
a 5-minute sit before a meeting, a 2-minute,
yeah,
yoga break, a 2-minute dance,
yeah,
break through the day.
Yeah.
And maybe even when the schedule's really chopping and changing, to have like the 10-minute timer practice, right? So to set the timer,
mm-hmm,
for 10 minutes, and when it goes,
mm-hmm,
off, I would stop, look up at the sky, do a good old "I love you, sky. Do you love me?" And then and then back to what I was doing. So whatever the schedule looked like, there was a way to put in a structure of a 10-minute timer, no matter what was going on.
I love the tiny interventions. Such a great image. Yeah.
Well, and the experience of that was it was still living the process of practicing staying in awareness, right?
Absolutely.
And so it was just this amazing experience of, so when time did open up, where there was time to sit for longer, then I was there to hear that, for that information to drop in, because I wasn't all, like, you know, defeated and exhausted, but I'd been in that process of awareness. So, and I got to experience both places, right? The kind of defeated and exhausted, and, oh my gosh, I need a weekend, you know, a weekend retreat.
Right.
And kind of getting attached to that, you know, I need a big intervention to get me out of this big exhaustion. And then,
which is such a setup, right?
Such a setup, right? And then getting it, but just those small little interventions of love to stay in awareness were possible.
And I hope you won't forget where you're going, but just to briefly underline, because in order to remember to do those, the awareness has to be expanded, which is the beauty of that training.
Yes, exactly. So, and it's like I heard you say at the beginning, you know, at the monastery, everything's set up to support us to wake up and end suffering, to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. And I guess what I got to experience was, if that's the intention, if that's what you're asking life, then it will support that wherever you are, right?
Yeah, really.
And so, okay, so I got to train in that way where I had a job that allowed me to have a pretty spacious schedule and get to practice being here with a schedule. And then it was like, life was like, all right, so you know how to be here with a schedule. Can you be here without a schedule, you know? And that was just, just so perfect, right? To just go around in that, all right, what now, life? What now, life?
Yeah.
What now, life?
Yeah.
Okay, I can sit for 5 minutes. I'll sit for 5 minutes, and in that experience, awareness expands, and I actually receive the thing I'm doing as a workshop, right? Whatever there is for me to see about it, there's a chance for that to... for me to see that if I take that chance to sit for 5 minutes before I go into that meeting or before I go off to do that thing, you know?
Yes. It's so perfect because, of course, I mean, we know intellectually it's absolutely possible to be present in every moment of our lives, regardless of the content, regardless of how fast things are moving or how slow they're moving or how much there is or how little there is, or, I mean, to be present, to be here for it. It's just that when things get triggered, you know, there's a lot of work to do, and I have a lot of beliefs around work, and there's a, you know, whatever it is that's happening, as the conditioned system gets triggered, it's just much more challenging to stay present. And so what you're talking about is, that's why I love that tiny interventions thing, is just throwing those tiny things, you know, of course conditioning would want it to be huge. No, I mean, if you can't, you know, read for 30 minutes at night and you can't take the weekends to, you know, have mini retreats, then, I mean, you might as well just forget it. There's no way you're going to, but to go, what's possible now, life? Okay, I can sit for 2 minutes. Okay, I can stop. I can walk outside and look at the sky. Do you love me, sky? I love you. Go back inside to the next meeting. I can do that.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah. Absolutely. And there's something in what you just said. So two things dropped in, and I can remember one of them, and we'll see if the second one comes back as I'm saying the first one. So the first one was when you said about the conditioning being triggered. So along the way, I got asked one of these just brilliant, you know, life-changing guidance questions, which was, so what if you get triggered? Are you going for feeling okay or being with?
Exactly.
So if you can't have all those structures that, you know, you've been enjoying so much, is it that you're going for being okay, or are you going for being with no matter what? So it's like life will offer the chance to train with that too.
It really will. It really will. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
The second thing came back. It did.
Yes. Okay.
Love it. So it was that. So through, I haven't mentioned it, but through all of this, I was recording like crazy and listening like crazy, right?
And say more about that. Like, how did you do that? How did you manage to record and listen during all that time, you know, when it was super busy and tons going on? And
Well, in sometimes in short bursts between things, sometimes you'd be out, you know, like gathering and take a minute to run to the bathroom. And always like those check-ins, like, oh, what have you been up to today? Those places where, you know, you record and awareness expands so that you things actually drop in about the day that you wouldn't have seen if you just had attention on that ego talking to ego conversation about my life.
Absolutely.
The daily love letter kept on going. And things like, okay, so I've got like a 40-minute commute to work on the bus. Like, how much fun can I have with this, right? So today I'm going to practice noticing five things on my journey to work that I haven't seen before. I'm going to direct attention to all the colors of the chakras. I'm going to listen to, just using that as a listening time as well, you know?
Noticing
the difference, you know, when you get to work, when you have been listening to a group recording or an open air archive, and it just because you've been listening to people talking from awareness about awareness, and then you get into work, and then that's, you know, you're kind of primed to receive it as a workshop, whatever goes on,
whatever happens, including waking up at, you know, lunchtime and going, wow, okay, I've been totally gone. Good. All right. Gone. I had a workshop and gone. Good.
Exactly.
All right. Well, tell me about your morning, right? Because here's the thing is that I may have been gone, but awareness wasn't gone. And so often in my experience, when we do those little check-ins, we actually see, we saw way more than we would have realized we'd seen if we hadn't stopped to check in.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm just seeing the time.
Oh, it's so good. I know. Should we do a part B at some point?
Yeah.
It's so, and I'm so glad you started with that, you know, the different levels of it, because, you know, it's hard. It is hard. And I was going to say we get it, but, you know, I probably don't get it because I've had the great luxury of living here for so long. But just, I think it's very helpful to hear that people do want to and can bring that level of awareness into a very busy and, you know, lots of content kind of a life. So I really appreciate you bringing that perspective this evening.
Yeah. Oh, pleasure.
Thanks for being with us, Anna.
Thank you, Jen.
Okay. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you to start the show.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Anna. And good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael. Nice to be here.
Great, great, and I love that conversation.
Fun, huh?
Yes.
I mean, because it really does. It really does highlight, truly. I mean, we joke about it. You know, something hard happens, and we say, boy, that was a workshop. But honestly, why couldn't we really, truly approach everything as a workshop?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Because it is. I mean, it's happening, and I'm an awareness practitioner, and, you know, so I might as well.
Yeah, why not live a process life?
Why
as
not
you two
live
are
a process
about?
Life? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Way more fun.
Yes, and I love those tiny interventions all day long.
Isn't that great?
You know, a minute of meditation here, 3 minutes of recording over here, a couple minutes of yoga there. It's great. It's
watching for the chakra colors on the way to on the commute. Yeah, and as you said that, Michael, I just saw, you know, that any of us could use that at any point, right? Just realize, wow, something's going on here. All right, I think we need a tiny intervention.
Yes,
you know, and just, you know, the mentor is going to show up in some form.
Mm-hmm.
right? Because just that movement of asking for the tiny intervention is the awareness that the human could use some assistance.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Great. And I have announcements here.
Great.
Spend an evening with Sherry on the topic of practicing in difficult times this Sunday, September 1st in York, Pennsylvania. And registration is free.
Oh, that's coming right up.
That is coming right up. And you're invited to participate in a virtual sit with Sangha and to be part of the Family Karma Retreat next week in Pennsylvania. Tuesday through Friday, come support and be supported by the transformational energy and spirit of being on retreat as we recite the daily recollection and meditate together. Join any of the sits at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Use the regular virtual meditation group's call-in number on the virtual meditation group's webpage.
There's that challenge again, Michael. I think we talked about that last time, right? I did it in North Carolina at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, for us Pacific Coast folks.
Exactly. Yes. I guess it's only fair because so many things really revolve around our schedule here on the West Coast. So
yes, yes.
It's only fair that we pitch once in a while.
The powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat offers foundational work in going beyond self-hate that is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do. A retreat is coming up October 7th through 14th. Step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up at the Your Practice Retreat, October 23rd through 30th, at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near California. This retreat offers individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week.
Yeah, that's a great retreat. That actually follows nicely on the conversation Anna and I were just having, you know, a chance to be in that monastic environment for a week and get to practice in the environment where everything really is dedicated to that. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And I think we need a drum roll here. Sherry and Ashwini's new book,
yes.
Don't Suffer, Communicate, A Zen Guide to Compassionate Communication, is ready for pre-order. So go to keepitsimple.org to get your copy.
So fun.
Yes, yes, I can't wait. Sorry, I interrupted you there, Jen.
No, I just was saying, truly, I cannot wait also. Yeah.
Yeah. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to speak with Jen today, you can make guest show and get in the queue by pressing *6 and then 1. And conversation on one topic of about 5 minutes in length is great. Okay, ready, Jen?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. This is Kate calling from Seattle.
Hey, Kate.
Hi there. Gosh, I'm so excited to be on, and I am mainly showing up because I've noticed that my participation in open air has really dropped off, especially with the year-long retreat. And so I just wanted to show up and be here and join the party.
Yeah, what a great process. Oh, it's so good, Kate, on so many levels, isn't it? Just first that you just realize that, you know, look at that. You know, it sort of happens quietly over time, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you've got a lot of support. You've got the year-long retreat and other things. That's great. And what I hear in that is that place where it's not just about me and what I need or what I want. I also just want to participate and be part of it and to provide the show, right? I mean, we always say it. It's open air is the prime example we always talk about when we talk about participation, especially at the end of retreat, encouraging folks to continue to participate. It's such a perfect example of if no one called, there would be no show.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do get so much out of, I mean, everyone's contribution, and even already, I mean, I'm just so excited about the Tiny Interventions and the book that's coming out, and like there's just, you know, I'm just feeling fantastic. So I'm so happy to be here. I did have one topic that I wanted to bring up, and so I'll just mention that.
Okay.
So a couple weeks ago on the year-long retreat, I think, I can't remember if it was Sherry or Ashwini, but I've heard it before, we're talking about being tired is not a reason to not do something. And then sort of a different version of that, which is the kind of whether you want to do it or not is not a reason not to do something. And I wanted to call in about this because there's a fair bit of conversation around that in my instance, partly because I have some like a sort of a predisposition for that, like driving so hard that I can make myself conditioning can make the experience unpleasant, and I can, you know, can not take care of the human very well and get sick. So I've been trying to play around with that. When is tired a reason and when is it not? And just trying to be connected to life and let life inform. But I'm noticing it's a sticky area for me.
It's such a great topic, isn't it, Kate? Because it can get really, really subtle. In terms of, it's kind of that razor's edge, right? Because there's the duality, of course. You know, conditioning's always pulling us into a duality. Mm-hmm. And so as you've been looking at it, what have you seen so far? Have you had any kind of clues come up?
I did have a really interesting insight this morning, which was the predominant voice used to be, you know, you got to do it, you got to do more, kind of real yammering about that. And more recently, last couple of years, as I've been trying to practice more self-care, the conversation has more been about, like, be careful, don't overdo it, you might get tired, that might be too much. And I'm starting to suspect that some of that might actually be in response to a voice that's still there pushing, but I'm not really hearing it. So it's more almost feels like I'm hearing the reaction to, like almost feels like it's trying to justify, like, it's okay to rest. If that makes sense.
That's so interesting. Because what I just pictured is kind of that place that we talk about that I use a lot in my own practice is, how would I be with a friend, right? And so I'm never, you know, if my friend says, gosh, I'm looking at doing this thing, but I kind of don't, you know, I'm not sure if I really feel up to it, I'm never going to say to them, come on, you got to get going, you got to put, I'm never going to drive them, right? I imagine you wouldn't either, right?
Mm-hmm,
and so
mm-hmm.
then checking in, and would I say to them, you know, you better be careful because you might be overdoing it.
Yeah, probably not that either.
Probably not, right?
Yeah.
And I just think that's such an interesting check-in. What drops in for me is that place that phrase we use a lot in practice, which is do more than conditioning says you can and less than it says you should.
Oh, that's great. More than conditioning says you can, but less than it says you should. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's actually the perfect.
Isn't that helpful?
Yeah, it's so helpful.
Because it's never, you know, as Sherry always says, conditioning doesn't care what we do or what we don't do. It doesn't care if we lie on the bed all day or we push or we get a million things done or, you know, it doesn't care. All it cares is that we're in a conversation with it over something that will create suffering. Mm-hmm. And so it will say to each of us, whatever will create that, whatever will create suffering. And so it's always trying to get us into a conversation about the thing, which keeps us out of the experience of it. And when I'm in the experience of it, that seems like our best shot at really tuning into, okay, what's kind right now? What makes the best sense? What's best for all in this moment?
Yeah, that's so helpful to hear in that way, because, and also another question that dropped in for me is, well, let's see, like, why don't we try?
Exactly.
You know, yeah, because I could go to yoga, and if I was truly, like, over-exhausted, like, there's no rule that you just can't lie down in Savasana and have a quieter class. And moderate as you need to. So just going and kind of checking it out and what happens when you actually put yourself in the position to see what is true in that moment.
You know, Kate, going back to the conversation with Anna and monastic training, that's one of the most fundamental things that we constantly train with in monastic training, which is we're only right here, right now. We only know this. And so that, well, let's see, is so perfect. Because I project what happens to us is, okay, well, yeah, I mean, I'm not dead flat out exhausted. So, yes, I could get in the car. But what if I get in the car and then I get there and then I, but then what if I mean, I can't leave the class. I mean, I can't lie down. I mean, what will the teacher think, right? We're in a conversation. But
yeah,
if we're
and that's exhausting.
And that's exhausting. It's completely exhausting. But if we truly, I mean, it's such an art form. It's such a beautiful art form to be able to be in this moment. Okay, what's possible right now? Can I get my yoga clothes on? Yes. Okay, let me get my yoga clothes on. Okay, what's now? Okay, well, fill my water bottle. Okay, I'll fill my water bottle. Okay, now what? Now I'm going to walk towards the car. Okay, I'm walk towards the car. And what's so beautiful about that is we can do each of those things having no idea if we're actually going to do the yoga class. But just take each step. And if at any point we get information from intelligence that it's time to turn around, then we can turn around.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Thank you. That's so...
Yeah, thank you. It's
so
a really fun topic. Yeah.
Yes, lots to see there for sure.
Yeah, and thanks for noticing that you hadn't called in and then calling in. That's a perfect example of it, actually.
Yes, and it feels good to be back. So thank you. And I'm so excited about the book.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Yeah.
Can't wait. All right. Thanks, Kate.
Thank you so much. Thank you,
Michael.
Bye bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Kate. Jen, I just love that way to short-circuit the conversation. Okay, I'm going to take a step that's right here, right now, in this moment. Okay, that seems okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and now what? Okay, I'm going to get the keys for the car. Okay, yeah, I'm okay. it's just a recipe for getting out of suffering, which you just laid out there.
And it's so kind, isn't it? Because don't you get such a sense of someone being with you in care as you're doing that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Well, let's pick up the
cookies.
Well, let's, you know, Yeah. So great.
It removes all of the, the weight on the outcome. And whether I'm going to make it or not, and whether I'm going to be a failure or not. And I'm just doing this right here, right now. Okay.
Right here, right now. Yep. Has nothing to do with anything else. You know, I actually had a huge lesson in that years ago where I was maybe going to go to graduate school. And I got that guidance of, well, just keep taking the steps. And I kept taking the steps. And then at some point, I didn't go to graduate school. I moved to the monastery. But none of it's wasted. Wasn't there a peace quote that just came through about that? Or somewhere I saw it. Anyway, just that attitude of mind of this is just for this. It's not for something else. So I don't know whether putting on my yoga clothes is going to lead to going to yoga. And putting on my yoga clothes can be complete in itself. It doesn't have to be for something else.
Yes, yes. Perfect.
Oh, good.
And we have another caller here.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Jen and Michael. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Oh,
hey, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. Hey. Ooh, thanks for getting through.
Right. It's funny. There's a little conversation in my head about, like, whoever the next caller is. Boy, it's really going to be, like, really the right person picked because
right.
all that that had to happen. In order for it to happen. But anyway. I think what I would like to look at is around the, you know, we've been looking at fitness in the
year-long
retreat for the last few days anyway. And so I've been... I've talked many times in open air but about health issues, but basically I've had various health issues, like really incredibly painful and challenging symptoms and all kinds of stuff. And two really big ones have resolved without in the end any intervention other than going, you know, one of them, I did get off a medication. Was that medication contributing to this? I don't know, but then eventually what happened was I took a test, a Western medicine test, and it said, you don't have a problem with this. And so, you know, I started to go, oh, I don't have a problem with this. And I believed it, you know, it felt right.
Yeah.
It felt like, I don't. And I just started I started not paying as much attention to the symptoms. You know, I don't mean not paying attention as in, you know, not paying attention in terms of practice.
Ignoring the human.
Right. Yeah, that's not what I mean. But not believing that they're a problem, you know, not thinking.
Well, and I would project not being in a conversation about the symptoms.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and even kind of, I could say dismissing, but not in the sense of pushing them away or anything, but just it doesn't mean what it I've been believing it means. I just, I'm fine. I just had the test. It shows so clearly I'm fine.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been incredible, actually. I've sort of seen it, but I just really just saw it just then that it really has been an incredible journey. You know, to just like, wow, this does not match my picture of how things happen in the world. You know, the experiences that I've had, you know, it's like that thing about believing our beliefs over our experience. But anyway, starting to believe my, you know, I mean, I don't know, believing my experience, but just going, okay, well, this has been my
experience. Having my experience, getting to have my experience, which is truly, I mean, not, that's it, right? That's what practice allows us, is once we're out of the conversation, we get to have the experience. I think it's a little bit of what we were looking at with Kate, too.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, there are these other health things which are still going on. There's at least one big one that there's really strong, you know, apparently evidence that there is something going on. But there's this other one that, you know, who knows. You know, but anyway, I just went to my, first of all, doing the work in the year-long retreat and, you know, where do I suffer around this? And I was just looking at, just try to briefly summarize this, but there was, when I first became a teacher about a decade ago, I started to, one, not be really stressed, two, not get very much sleep, like really small amount of sleep, and three, after, you know, whatever, say a year of that, I started to have like tendon pain, you know, and mm. stuff happening. And I began a process of doing less and less over time. And the more symptoms I had, the less I did. And I eventually got to the point where I was hardly doing anything. And I turn a door handle and I have excruciating pain in my shoulder and, you know, stuff like that. And then, anyway, and then further, then nerve symptoms started to happen. And I don't know if that's all related, but anyway, that was, anyway, so just in the last, you know, in the last few years, I've been attempting to gradually, incrementally increase my activity, you know, because I'm seeing that the other way, that was not helpful.
Right.
But anyway, and you know, in things, there's definitely been, you know, improvement in quotes. And there's also, I keep running into, you know, and this has been true for, I don't know, for basically just about, now, maybe not the whole 10 years, but say 7 or 8 of them. And, you know, I'm trying to address some of these physical issues through exercise. And I keep running into the exercise I'm doing make things so much more aggravated. And, you know, so, and then I, you know, I'm back off in the exercise because, you know, I've got like all this jaw pain, which is, you know, the current biggest thing, or back pain, which I've had some, too. And anyway, but I'm just looking at that process. It's like, you know, how is it that, you know, I keep running into, there's always at least one and sometimes multiple things. Doing the things which seemingly would be good for me to do to get to a place of better, in quotes, fitness.
Right. So let me see if I'm with you, Jeff. First of all, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because you cut out for me for like one sentence, but I got it.
Okay. Okay.
So it sounds like somewhat of a version of what Kate was looking at. So instead of tired, we could insert pain. So when is pain an indication of do something differently or do less of it or that sort of thing, or when to continue on with the activity? Because it sounds like one of the things you're really clear on from your direct experience is making your life smaller and smaller doesn't work.
Could you?
Because what happens?
Sorry.
Am I cutting out?
Jeff
is cutting out, or I'm cutting
out?
Jeff
is cutting out.
Oh,
I can hear you.
Okay, let me. Let me see if I can get to a different spot.
Okay.
Is this?
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. We
Hello.
Can hear you now. Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Great. I'm walking the other direction.
Okay.
Can you?
So basically,
okay,
it sounds like a version of what Kate was talking about, where, you know, it's you're looking, what you realize from your own direct experience is it isn't going to work to go the route of making your life smaller and smaller. And so,
right,
because all that does is make your life smaller and smaller and more miserable. And it really, really puts the voices in control because, you know, okay, good. You know, we're backing into that corner. Let's back him in even further. Let's make the corner smaller. Let's, you know, I mean, that's infinite what it can do there. So I wonder what drops in for me is bringing the attitude of mind we were looking at with Anna to it. I don't know. I actually don't know.
Mm.
And then, you know, bring in the thing we talked about with Kate. Okay, well, how about this moment? You know, what's the tiny intervention I can do right now? And do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think the thing that's huge that you said is, you know, I just had the image of the Western diagnosis of like, oh, okay, I really don't have that thing. I had this funny image with these other things of, you know, saying to your doctor, you know, could you just, don't tell me you're doing this, but could you make up a test that, for this diagnosis and then bring it back negative? So I could, right? I mean, joking, but not. Because I think it's such a good illustration, Jeff, of what we need to leverage us out from under I mean, it's huge what those voices can do to us. They truly, they can absolutely control our lives through a conversation. They can. And everyone in the Sangha could stand up and tell you their version of it. Like suicidal depression, absolute pain, ruin a relationship, you know, make me, you know, walk away from my family. I mean, whatever it is, those voices can really make a human being do some crazy stuff, you know, and completely ruin a life and, you know, just make it all about suffering. So it just occurs to me that, you know, those strategies of those tiny interventions and kind of the equivalent of, well, let me put on my yoga clothes and see, might be kind of fun and might be just a really kind, compassionate way to be with Jeff as he goes through this, knowing that the fitness is not the point, getting, you know, ending the pain is not the point. You know, it's that place of, hey, buddy, I'm right here with you through all of it. I don't know. I wish I did, but I actually don't. And, you know, I'm just with you through all of it.
Wow. Yeah. So kind of some of what I'm hearing is, you know, I can't remember how Anna said it, but basically a process life. Yeah, living a process life.
Exactly. Living a process life. So, okay, so now fitness and their pain. Okay, so that's the workshop I'm having. And I'm, you know, Sherry often uses Sherlock Holmes, literally. Oh, okay, that's interesting. Because I project, at least this is true for me, Jeff, you know, I open the doorknob and my shoulder hurts. What I'm trained to do is, can someone please open the doorknob for me? Because that I don't want to hurt that anymore. And and that's, it's not that there's anything wrong. You know, that's fine if we need someone to open the door for us. But it's just that it's not the same as, okay, well, what happens if I lead with my pinky finger? What happens if I lead? I don't know if you've ever been in, some of the yoga teachers we've had over the years have done exquisite work with us in terms of the minute difference it can make if you're doing the movement leading with your wrists and then with your elbows and then with your shoulders. And then it's a completely different movement leading from the, I mean, it's just so tiny what we can see when we're really paying close attention. And of course, when we're really paying close attention, the attention is off of the conversation. And that's the key thing.
Well, that is such a good point. So what I'm hearing again, you know, living a process life, just getting really interested in the micro world of this here now and the body and the human being and love and exploration and fun and play. Bring back that package.
Exactly, right. Add in fun and play. Exactly. Exactly. And even with the pain, like,
even with what?
Exactly. Even with the pain.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how exactly, what are the sensations? What, literally, what sensations make up this pain? I remember someone talking in Sangha about, it wasn't the person themselves, but someone they were closely related to who lived in lots and lots of pain, had a degenerative condition, and who used to say that she, the way she worked with the pain is that it was a, I forget exactly how she said it, but like a concrete experience of being alive, that she's still alive. Because she was going to die from this thing, you know? And it was, the pain in her body was a reminder that she's here.
Wow.
And of course, you know, we want to be with that in compassion, as you say, it's what you started out with. You know, not a dismissing it. Yeah, well, I mean, you're in pain, but you're fine. Not that at all. But that exquisite being with it in a way that actually, when we're trying to get away from it, we're actually not with it.
Wow, okay. Well, speaking of workshops.
Exactly. Yeah. You'll have to report back.
Yeah, that's right.
You'll have plenty, as you say, plenty the whole month to report back on the show. So, yeah.
Right. Fabulous. Okay. Thank you so much, Jen.
Thanks,
Thank
Jeff.
You, Michael. Bye now.
Take care.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. And again, Jen, I'm so impressed and moved by the level of detail of paying attention to every moment and what's going on and attempting to discern, am I living a process life or am I listening to a conversation?
Yeah. That being our intention, to live the process life and really letting life lead us to that. And kind of that place to me is that place of, all right, life, I so want to live a process life, so I'm just going to go for it. And if I'm not, you let me know. I'm completely available to that information.
Bring the course correction right here. I'm ready.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Put that brick wall in front of me.
Great. And Jen, we're going to listen to a recording and listening ad, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Jen, we have another caller here.
All right, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Laura in Berkeley.
Hey, Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hello. Well, it's neat getting to hear some of the other callers. I'm having that experience of, oh, they've talked about, you know, some of the things that have already been talked about have sort of addressed what I've been looking
for. Yeah, I love that. And you know, what's so fun is then so often people will say, especially in retreats, like in a setting where maybe, you know, everyone's going to participate or something, and someone will say, well, you know, it's all really been said. And then they go on to talk about their experience, which, yes, it's all the same stuff. But again, in that way of the detail being important, each person really does add an angle that I think is helpful to the whole. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, something that really struck me was the part about you know, getting dressed for the yoga class and everything, because my first reaction to that was, you know, when you said, and it doesn't matter if you actually go to the yoga class, it was like, no, yes, it does.
Exactly. What a waste of time. You would have to.
It's all fine to be playing around as long as you still do not waste any time and you make things happen and I can just feel it in my chest, you know, just so like,
I do know. Yeah. You cannot waste time. The big one in my family was always backtracking. Like if you have errands to do, you have to carefully think it out so you're never going back over the same territory. You have to only just that obsession with, you know, it has to be efficient and,
yeah, and I feel like that that sort of applies to then the other conversation about living in that process. I don't know, like the thing that kept coming up for me there was with in Zen coaching, there was this recording of a call that I have on a playlist where it's like, because I've had the experience of, you know, trying a lot of things for a lot of different health opportunities and, you know, and the place that I had gotten to in that moment was, well, you know, if I just keep on, you know, trying, you know, thing number 832, like that, and I'm in the process of joyful exploration, like that's a joyful life, you know, and...
Absolutely. I mean, that is a perfect example of it, Laura, actually. That's a beautiful example of it. Because the conditioned version would be, I'm trying the 832nd thing because I need to solve this problem.
Mm-hmm.
But the process version I project that you're pointing at is, nope, this is a process. I'm being with this human being who I love with everything I have. She's so important to me, and she's in pain. And so I'm going to help her explore every option out there, not because something needs to get fixed, and if it doesn't, there's a problem or anything, but because that's a process of love.
Hmm. Yeah, and it doesn't make any sense in conditioned mind, but my experience is that process is joyful, you know, and that I feel loved and good when I'm driving to my appointment or I'm doing my thing,
I know. I was just talking about it in Sunday group, so if you listen to those recordings, you'll hear it. Just that place of really not feeling well, just feeling horrible, but that sense of being held in that experience and being, like, there is a presence with us in that, and it's a totally different experience than going through that in a conversation where this shouldn't be happening. That's the thing, is there could even be like, wow, this stinks. It's horrible. I wish it wasn't happening. But if that presence is with us, it still makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's interesting because the sort of topic that dropped in before the call was I've been looking at potentially finding a job and just feeling kind of stuck with it and kind of seeing like, these would be sort of the logical next steps, and there's just a, you know, just like wall of resistance and
not that anything happens. You mean like not that that turns out not to be the next step, but when you see those steps, then there's an internal resistance to it.
Yeah, like I've been looking at like that. This would be the next logical step, and that's just for weeks. I've just been sort of like, yes, that would be the step. Don't seem to be doing it, but that would be the step.
Got it. That definitely would be the step. I'm not taking that step, but that would be the step. Yeah, if I were a different person, that would definitely be the step. Yeah,
be it. But I think that I was recording and listening about it, and one of the things that came up was that I don't want to try because I might find out there's nothing out there for me. And I think it kind of goes back to the yoga class thing of like, with this content so far, at least I have not gotten to the place of like, I'm just, you know, it feels like, that there's definitely an outcome and there can't be any like messing around, backtracking. There's got to just be a...
Exactly.
I can see the possibility of how great it would be to just explore this and you know, like intellectually I can see, oh yeah, like that would be great, but and I think there's some stuff there that it doesn't seem to be my experience so far.
yeah Yeah. Well, I mean, you put all those things together, right? It's all, I can't look, because if I look, I might find out that there's nothing out there. And everything I do to start down this track has to really count. And it has to be leading to a particular outcome. And if it doesn't lead to a particular outcome, then that's a failure. And there can't be any backtracking. So anything that I do towards this, you know, looking for a job that doesn't pan out, that's going to be a complete waste of time and a failure. So, I mean, you could easily see how a person could get to a place of no action at all, because it's complete suffering, right? And so to me, it's just good to see that, because it can bring up that sense of humor that you're bringing to it of, well, yeah, no wonder. I mean, of course she's not doing anything. Why would she want to, right? If there's no one there supporting her and helping her and just being with her through all of it, then why would she want to do it? I mean, she's just getting set up for failure. It's like, you know, Charlie Brown saying, no, I'm actually not going to kick that football. I don't want to. Mm-hmm. And who could blame him?
Yeah, the thing you said about...
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
Oh, just the thing that you said about there's no one there to support her, that just struck a chord. That resonated.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing, Laura, to me, is that at least when I look at it in my experience, it's so not my experience that... anything, you know, setting out to look for a job, or, you know, I don't know, the one that I'm looking at right now is we're starting to build the bridgewalk season. And anytime I set out to do something like that, what I've learned is almost certainly the thing that I start with is going to have nothing to do with where we end up. But the thing is that it does, in the sense that it was required in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm obsessed with Thomas Edison, that little story.
Yeah.
Because, you know, right, that sense of they had to do all of those things, and 99.9% of them were not it. But in a way, they were it, in the sense that, you know, there's this conditioned idea that I'm going to start with the light bulb. But how would I start with the light bulb? Right?
Yeah.
The light bulb doesn't exist. It has to start with stripping everything away that isn't the light bulb. That is part of it, and we're conditioned to think that isn't part of it.
Yeah, as you're saying that, it's like, yeah, I think that the standard is you got to find the light bulb, and then you can take an action.
Right, and it's insane. So to realize everything, go ahead. Like you have a,
I just have a sense of like a generosity or for myself around it, you know. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That everything, make it so big what counts in this process. Like getting dressed to go buy the newspaper counts as part of the process. Mm. Like buying the newspaper. You know, to look, I don't know what people do, actually. I'm sure that's way out of date. But, you know, going to the website, to turning on the computer, getting the ice water that I'm going to drink while I'm sitting at the computer, standing up to take a break to stretch so that I don't have to stay at the computer. So, I mean, everything is part of it. Calling into open air to talk about it, that's a step, a huge step.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing that conditioning is telling you. You're not, because I, even though this particular thing I'm not doing, you know, there are things I'm doing, you know, like just building my skills and doing all that stuff, but they're sort of like, that doesn't count. That's not.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Because I was realizing that conditioning is kind of like, get out there and do it. Like, that's sort of the energy of it. Versus the place of, I'm going to do this with you. Yeah.
Exactly. And what I was going to say is it will be interesting to see if there's an emphasis, an attention on everything she is doing around it. Wow, you called into open air about it. That's so great. What a really intelligent thing to do. Thank you for doing that for us. You know, if that begins to be the attitude of mind, it'll be interesting to see how much more energy there is for all the rest of it, even the things that feel hard. Because something like a job search, that takes us way out of our comfort zone for most of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's going to need a lot of support for that.
Yep. No, that's how it looks. I think that the standard that conditioning has been saying is like, get over this resistance already. What are you doing?
I know, really. Come on. Kick the darn football. Can't you see? We have so much misery waiting for you. Let's get on with it.
Yeah. So, very helpful.
Yeah. And that's to see it as intelligent, to not buy into it. Mm-hmm. You know, good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her for not, you know, doing it in conditioning's way. Go, Laura.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
That's another please report back moment.
All right. I will.
All right. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. And Jen, I forgot to mention one thing after the recording and listening ad, and that is that the Practice Recorder app for iPhone exists, and it's great for recording and listening, and it's on sale in the iPhone App Store.
How would you find it? Just recording and listening, search for recording and listening in the App Store?
I think you can search under the name, which is Practice Recorder.
Practice Recorder. Okay, great.
Yeah,
thank
Practice
you.
Practice Recorder. Perfect. And we have time for at least one more caller here.
Super.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. It's Catherine from St. Louis.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Well, it's been very helpful listening to the conversation. I called in because I'm feeling very stuck in misery.
Stuck in misery, did you say?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've just been trying to get happy, like go from, you know, the black hole to the shining light or something. And
it's kind of Laura's version of, like, get out there and get the job. Same thing, right? Come on, Catherine, let's get on with the happy program here. Step out of your black hole.
Right. 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 And
it's not helpful, is it?
No. You know, I think I'm totally controlled by identities. That's odd to say, but I mean, I think I'm just identified with one, you know, karmic thing after another. I think I segue from one to another, you know. I don't...
Shall we get a show of hands, Catherine? From the audience?
Yeah, I know, but I mean, is there something else?
Well, yes, actually. Can I tell you what I was going to ask?
Yeah.
Well, how did you call into the show today?
I don't know, somebody needing help.
Yeah, that's the something else. Somebody needing help? Noticing that, and somebody picking up the phone and dialing and putting herself in the queue and staying on the call and staying even when she was unmuted. That's at least five steps right there.
So this isn't about getting anywhere, is it? This whole awareness
practice. Do you? It doesn't seem to me. I actually think, I notice in my own practice, when it starts to be about getting somewhere, I get miserable in a hurry.
Yeah.
Because the somewhere is not here. And so I don't have it and can't experience it. And that, to me, is the suffering.
So here, okay, here feels like my experience of here is no thing, like nothing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how to get in, go through life that way.
You don't know how to go through life in no thing?
Yeah.
What did you hear in the, were you here for the Good News Update with Anna?
I frankly had trouble understanding, hearing, there might have been something going on with my phone, so I didn't hear all of
it. Okay, well, please listen back to the recording. She was quite articulate in, I think, many things that will be helpful to you. But let me ask you this. So you have a close friend, someone you really care about, someone else in Sangha, let's say. So let's say you're having a really disidentified day, and you're calling into the show, and you're listening along, and you're hearing someone who calls in and feels like, wow, I'm stuck. I just feel like I just go from identity to identity, and I don't know how to live here in no thing. I feel stuck in misery. What do you feel like would be your internal response? What would you want to offer to them?
Compassion.
Yeah. And do you have a sense that you would feel like there was something wrong with their practice, that they were having that experience?
No, but maybe something wrong with life, that it's this way.
True? That it's this way?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That it's so hard.
Hmm. And you feel like you would have that sense from a disidentified perspective?
I don't, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yes. I suspect not. Only because partly because I've heard you talk many, many times from a different place. But from that larger place, you know, it's very much what I think we've been talking about with a number of people tonight, where stuff happens. You know, physical pain is one of them that we've talked about. A lot of what Anna was talking about in the Good News Update was just a very busy, full life, lots of things going on. Jeff talked about high levels of stress. You know, Kate was talking about physical things and, you know, pain and that sort of thing. And being with ourselves, being with, you know, it's funny language, right? But it's the reason we have to use that funny language is because being with ourselves doesn't really capture it as well as being with the human. Being with the person who is having the hard experience is what seems to point at that nothing wrong experience that we talk about in practice.
Mm.
Right? So there's that, as you say, that sense of compassion for, we do go through hard things, right? And there are the undulations. You know, a couple of years ago, Sherry was talking a lot about undulations. It just seems to be the way it goes. You know, open, closed, day, night, up, down. And to be, not have any standards, like especially if we're talking about with Laura, not have any standards that we're going anywhere, that we're getting anything, that we're simply being with. I mean, you could even just end it there. We're simply being with, in compassion, in acceptance. And even when that awareness collapses and we do feel those moments of, gosh, it just feels like I'm in misery, can we be with her in that? That's okay. That happens. But we don't have to believe it's wrong. What were you going to say?
I don't know.
I wasn't going to say anything, actually. I can practice compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
You know what, Catherine?
Uh-huh.
Is to listen back to this recording and to make it kind of a two-handed recording. Do you know what I mean by that?
Not entirely.
So to listen back to this open air and to hear Catherine speaking, probably by the time it's ready for us to listen to the archive, you know, lots of other things will have happened. And to listen back to it and to hear what you hear and then facilitate her.
And then what? I'm sorry?
Facilitate her. So listen back to Catherine talking and to hear what you hear and to offer what you feel moved to offer her.
Okay.
Because right now might be a really good time for a two-handed recording, yeah?
Yeah, I can try that. I've tried it. It didn't seem to help, but I can try it again.
Well, and I'm guessing there's a conversation happening right now, yeah?
Yeah, there's kind of a defeated thing going on.
Yeah, right. So what, like, give me a couple of lines of the conversation. What does the conversation say?
Well, we can try. But
exactly. Yeah.
The mentor doesn't seem to be... I don't seem to feel any love.
Uh-huh. And what would you say to me, Catherine, if I said that? I tried the two-handed recording, but I don't know. I can't seem to feel the love. I can't find the mentor.
I don't know. I don't know what I'd say to you. I don't know. Nothing's dropping in.
I'll tell you what I'd say. Don't worry about it. That's all right. It's completely all right. Let's do it again. I don't care how long it takes. I'm not in any hurry. I just want to be here with you through this. Because I think even, it's kind of been the theme of the show, that even what the mentor is going to say could be turned into an outcome, right? And it has to be this certain way, and then I have to feel a certain way. But that's huge to see. That's not what we're doing. Someone said it earlier in the show, I can't remember exactly the reference, but we're not trying not to feel a certain way, right? So the two-handed recording, I did it and it didn't work. Because it's a process, right? And it's a process of being with Catherine in this case, seeing Catherine. She's going through a hard thing. Okay, that's fine. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to be with her no matter what. Whether she, quote, feels better or not, that's okay. That's not the point. You know, it's like literally being with someone who's ill, you know, being with a sick child. I'm not going to leave them because they're not feeling better. I'm going to just keep being right there with them. I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm with you. I'm right here. Anything you need, you let me know. Same thing we can do with ourselves. I'm sorry you feel miserable. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. It's okay.
Okay.
And report back, will you please?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
Take good care. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. And I heard a lot of compassion in that conversation, Jen, and the value of that and the importance of that. And that's pretty much the whole deal.
That is the whole deal. Yep. Compassion, no matter what.
Yes, yes. And Jen, I wanted to mention that the recording for this show will be up on the website within minutes after the show is over.
Oh, super.
So, yeah.
Excellent. Thanks. So we could all listen back and do two-handed recordings.
Exactly. And I want to give a big thank you to you, Jen, for being here tonight.
Thanks.
And
that was lovely.
It's lovely and a pleasure and a tremendous privilege.
Amen. Thanks, Michael.
Amen. And thank you, Jen. Go happy.
Go happy. Bye-bye.
Bye.